So I just want to quickly go over number six, because it was kind of getting late and maybe a little bit tiring. And I want to just look at the bold. Ki emnan kol echad mi Yisrael yichol lasig Hashem yitale. Every single one of us is able to, so to speak, grasp Hashem. Ayedei chelko chelek eloka asher shochem b'tocho. Through the part of divinity that dwells within him. That's how you connect to Hashem. You connect to Hashem by connecting to your deeper inner self. V'zenikra elokechem, and that's the meaning of the word elokechem. When it says, v'atem advekim b'shem elokechem, you who are connected to God, elokechem, it means you who are connected to God, elokechem means the godliness within you. Your godliness. That's what Elokechem means. It's generally translated as your God, right? Or your Lord. But what the Chernobyler is teaching us is no. The word Elokecha means your godliness. Ratzel amar kol echad kefi chelko. Everyone can discover Hashem according to his part. Belahut, in divinity. Ken yitrabe asagav edvekut l'kol echad kefi yicholto. In other words, if you were a drop in the ocean, then how would you grasp the ocean? By getting in touch with the essence that you are, which is H2O. The entire ocean is H2O, right? And when you experience and you deeply realize that you are H2O, but you're only a fraction of the ocean, but nonetheless, the experience with H2O is the experience of the essence of the ocean, okay? So what this shifts is that most people understand is if you're seeking for God, it means you're seeking to, you know, run away from yourself, or you're seeking to connect to some being very far away. And what Chassidus is teaching us is no. Connecting to Hashem is through connecting to your deeper self. Okay? And most people are afraid that if I'm God conscious, that will somehow undermine myself. Right? And that the search for God means forget about yourself. You don't matter. What matters is God. No, that's not true. No. If you truly understand Hashem, and you understand Hashem is the greater self that we all share, and that there's one soul, one self, and we're all facets and rays of that one self, then the way a ray of the sun would connect with the sun is by being in touch with itself as a ray of the sun. And therefore, a person who is really God-conscious is going to be profoundly self-aware, and a person who's profoundly self-aware will be God-conscious, even though God and the self are not synonymous, but they're definitely connected. Any questions on that before I go on? Yes, Cook.
Is that unique to Jews, or is that to everyone?
Is that unique to Jews? Okay. The accessibility and the intensity of that accessibility is greater for a Jew because of the genetics. In other words, everybody has the potential to be self-aware. And true self-awareness is I'm aware of myself as part of a greater self, right? And that is the greatest sense of self, that I am truly self-aware. I am aware of myself as part of a greater self that I share with the entire universe, okay? Because we are the children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Leah, so genetically, we got a 3,200 years, you know, head start. But everybody, right, has the potential to connect with themselves and connect with Hashem, because there isn't a being on this planet that's not connected to God, because if they weren't, they wouldn't exist. If you exist, you're connected to Hashem. And now the question is, how self-aware can you be about that? Cook, you're not finished. Yes, go ahead.
So is that like, in a sense, the Tzad Elokim in each person?
Yeah. You are a microcosm of the macro. Just like the idea of DNA, that within every cell of your body is really the code of the entire body. So within each and every one of us is godliness. Right. With each and every one of us is Ein Sof, yet we're not the Ein Sof. That cell is still not the whole body, and yet encoded within that cell is the entire body. What this is called is in, you know, in kind of in the new sciences, is they call it a holographic universe. That we live in a holographic universe. What's a holographic universe? A hologram, when you shine through it a laser beam, it creates this three-dimensional image. But what they found is that if you took that hologram and cut it in half and shined through only half of the film, a laser beam, you'd still get the three-dimensional picture, although a lower resolution. If then you cut that half into a quarter and cut that quarter into an eighth and shine through it, again, a laser beam, you'd still get the three-dimensional image. So the idea is that within every part is reflected the entire whole. Within every single one of us is reflected the whole self. So although you're not the whole self, you're only a part of the whole self, i.e. Hashem, within every part of the whole is a reflection of the whole. Okay? And that would be the image of Hashem. Yeah, Jay?
Yes, sir. Just what you were saying before about a genetic difference between Jews and non-Jews, isn't the fact you can convert to Judaism sort of invalidate non-Jews as a genetic difference?
Well, that goes into the discussion. I don't want to go there right now, but just very quickly, one of the understandings of conversion, if a person converts, it means that in some way they actually were Jewish. And in this life, their challenge was to embrace it through choice rather than, but that somehow they already had that potential within them that needed to be actualized in this way. Yeah.
I mean, so going off of Jake's question, I think you said that it had to do with genetics. So then they would clearly have non-Jewish like genes.
Well, but what do we know what this person's background is? Who knows what their genes are? I don't know.
So are you saying that every single person like converted?
I mean, we're talking about spiritual genes, first of all. You know, but you know, the idea here is that, look, I'll give you an example. Carl Jung, he presented an idea that was extremely parallel to Kabbalah, and it's very possible that's where he got it from, because Carl Jung, in his 80th birthday, said, "Don't be so impressed with what I taught, because the Hasidic master, the Maggid of Mazrich, predated me." Okay? Pretty amazing. You can Google it. It's a known piece. Anyways. So one of the things that Carl Jung presented is something that he called the collective unconscious. And he believed that when you go through something and you accomplish something, it's not just accomplished for yourself, but it gets deposited into a collective unconscious. So think of it this way, that there's a bank account, a consciousness bank account, that you have access to, and you can draw from that account. Okay? Now, since we are the children of Abraham and Isaac, what Abraham and Isaac did at the Akedah, you and I have access to the account. What they accomplished spiritually in that incredibly courageous willingness to do what that was about, which is a long story, of course, right? We have access to that account because we are Jewish. And a person can convert, and they can get access to that account. But in that account is the potential for an extraordinary awareness of yourself as part of the greater self, which can access prophecy. Okay? Which can access prophecy. So let's go on a little bit more on the next side of the page. Now here's something pretty shocking. Rav Tzadik says, and this is based on the Zohar, Tzadikim nikru b'shmotav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The righteous are referred to by the name of God. Ki shemot b'nei Yisrael heim atzmam shemot HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because the name of b'nei Yisrael are the names of God. Your name, Moshe, Yechiel, Natan, David, Shlomo, these are all different names of God. Right? These are all different names of God. Well, what is this? How am I supposed to understand that? This is a pretty amazing thing. Now, first of all, you know, there's a pasuk that says, Amcha kulam tzadikim. Right? Your nation, your entire nation is tzadikim. So all of you tzadikim, you just don't know that and haven't quite maybe always acted in line with that. But you are basically tzadikim. And your names are one of the names of God. What is it? I'm God? No, but you see, David Aaron has many names. Okay? David Aaron has many names. Rabbi is one of my names. Right? Father is one of my names. Son is one of my names. Right? Grandfather is one of my names. So these are different names of one David Aaron. But they're different facets of me, okay? So too, what Rav Tzadok is sharing here, and he didn't make this up, is that each and every one of us is in fact a facet of God. Now, you're not God, and that's what's so dangerous about the idea, right? But you're godly, right? You are godly. And so every ray of the sun represents the sun in a partial way, in a limited way. But there is an unlimited self, and you are a limited manifestation of the unlimited self. And that's your connection to Hashem. You always are connected to Hashem. And there's never a moment that you're not connected to Hashem. And your greatness is a done deal. You don't have to accomplish greatness. What you do have to accomplish is an awareness of your greatness and a lifestyle that is true to your greatness. But you are already godly. Yes?
If Hashem is, in a way, like a manifestation of space, meaning like that...
Hashem is not a manifestation of space. I didn't say that.
But
I'm okay to say that space is a manifestation of Hashem, but Hashem is not a manifestation of space.
But so space is a manifestation of Hashem.
Everything is a manifestation of Hashem.
Even, like, what about nothing? Like, what about, like, a vacuum?
Even that's a manifestation, but that's already non-dual logic, which I don't want to go into right now. Okay? Yeah, John.
You said that only Sadiqim's names are name of God.
Yes.
All Sadiqim?
Yes.
Jewish people or non-Jews also?
Right now he's talking about Jewish people.
Even a terrible Jewish person is...
In their deepest depth, yes. In fact, the Gemara says that even a Russia, a Jewish Russia, is filled with mitzvahs like a pomegranate. What does that mean? Again, the idea is we're not talking about your ego. We're not talking about your personality, your psychological clothing. We're not talking about Josh. We're talking about you. Josh is just your stage name. You're a soul. And as a soul, you are a ray of the endless self. What's the incentive? Is to become self-aware. You see, the pain is this. You're connected to Hashem, right? But if you don't realize that and you don't behave in a way that's true to that, then you will suffer. Because you will live with this psychic pain that who you are and who you think you are in conflict. And that is your Gehenna.
So you don't do anything for God, you do it for yourself.
We're not up to why we do anything, right? We're at this point, mitzvahs empower you to live a life of emunah. Emunah is devotion, faithfulness, and commitment to living truly who you are as a chelek eloka, as a part. That's emunah. Well, emunah isn't just, I memorize 10 articles of faith. Emunah is a lifestyle. It's an awareness. Emunah means faithfully portraying your inner truth. That's emunah. An ish emunah is a person who is faithfully portraying their inner truth. Faithfully asserting and expressing their true self as part of a greater self that transcends time and space, who we refer to when we say Hashem, okay? And when you don't live that lifestyle, then you're creating your own hell, because who you are and who you think you are in total conflict, okay? And that's going to, that could, Chas v'Shalom, even cause you to be sick, right? That's what disease is, it's dis-ease. That dis-ease is essentially this tension that's going on. And so when a person is intense, right, they're feeling this tension because deep in the unconscious, you see, Freud said that in the unconscious are all these negative, abusive memories, and we dump it into the unconscious. Carl Jung, he was cholek, right? It was a mochleikus between Freud, Harav Freud, and Harav Reverend, actually, Jung. Jung said that the unconscious is a rich reservoir of wisdom. Yes, there is some baggage, there are some painful past memories that we dumped there, but there's tremendous wisdom in the unconscious. Now, whichever way you go, Judaism goes more in the direction of Jung, they both agree that the path to wellness is to make the unconscious conscious. And that the reason why you're neurotic is because you are in denial of painful childhood experiences and you haven't embraced them, acknowledged them, and let them go. So they're really in the closet of your unconscious. That would be more Freudian. But Jung, he said, no, there's this, all this positive wisdom in your unconscious. But whichever way you go, they say that wellness is the ability to make the unconscious conscious, and we agree with them. And that's how you do it. When you live, when you learn Torah, and you live mitzvahs, you are making the unconscious conscious. What is in your unconscious? Hashem Echad. In your unconscious, you know that there's nothing but God, and that means if there's nothing but God, does that make me God? No. Does that make me an illusion? No. So, but we're taught, Ein od milvado, F is biltecha. What is that supposed to mean, Ein od milvado? It means that I'm a chelik. I am a part of the one self, the one soul, the one God. I'm not God, right? Right? There isn't me and my hands, me and my toes, right? My hands and my toes are part of me. So there's really just me, but that doesn't mean my toes are me. They're just a part of me, okay? So, the goal is to become conscious. To move from the unconscious, the realization, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, which we'll be studying soon, is already in your unconscious. You know the meaning of the Shema. You just don't know that you know the meaning of the Shema. And you might be living a lifestyle that is betraying your inner truth, your true self. And that becomes your hell. And you suffer. And that suffering could be, it will be projected on the screen of your everyday life. But it's all inside. And this is what Carl Jung said. Carl Jung said that if there's an inner conflict that you haven't resolved, then the world will split into two in front of you. Right? And those ideas correlate to a lot of our own sources, that the world that you see is a reflection of who you are. And if you're not at peace with who you are as a piece of who God is, right? Then that creates your turmoil. That creates your torment. That creates your unhappiness. All right? So this is much more organic than there's a God somewhere over there and he's looking up in the records and he's, right? The schar mitzvah, the reward of a mitzvah, is the mitzvah itself. What is the reward of a mitzvah? What is the reward in acting in a way that is consistent with who you are? It's being who you are. It's self-awareness. It's self-celebration. And what is the punishment of behaving in a way that contradicts who you are? It's that you are living a fragmented existence. It's not like, you know, oh, maybe I can, you know, maybe God will wink and miss that one. You know, no, there's nothing to wink here. Hashem gives you a system which enables you to make the unconscious conscious. Deep in the unconscious, you know Ein od milvado, you know Shema Yisrael. And now, do you have a lifestyle that enables you to live and realize and celebrate that truth? That's what Torah claims to be for Jewish people. And there's other paths for other people. Yeah, Cook.
Mm-hmm. That's the case, that like the whole idea is that it's all for us and the punishment is going to be living this life of lie and fragmentation, then why is there the idea of schar nomesh?
That is schar nomesh.
So why would there be Gehenna?
That is Gehenna. Gehenna is the shame of realizing that you betrayed yourself. That is your Gehenna. Now, it could be you'll see something, but we're not up to that yet because we haven't really talked about what the world is and consciousness. Right now, let's just go slowly, okay? First thing to know is there is one self, one soul, the great I Am. At Sinai, we heard, we realized, revealed to us is I Am Hashem. All there ever was, is, and ever will be. There's nothing but me, Elohecha, the source of all your powers, your godliness, your inner self. Right? And that's what we heard. And that's why I'm giving you these mitzvahs. Because I took you out of Egypt. I took you out of slavery where you were alienated from yourself and you weren't free to live your truth. And that's the goal. Live your truth. Live your true self. And that's the reward. And if you don't do it, that's the punishment. And whether you see it or not, you could be living a really comfy life and everything's just going wonderful, and then somewhere 20 years later, it all crashes and you think it just happened. It didn't just happen, right? It's been cracking and cracking and cracking, and Hashem has been giving you hints to try and wake you up. And now you get this bigger wake-up call because you've been in denial all this time. Right? That's what's going on. Yeah.
So if that's true, that there's something like inherently great about like the Jewish soul, did Hashem give us the Torah because we were great, or are we great because you gave us the Torah?
Okay. Well, the question is really, what comes first, the Torah or the Jewish people? Well, it's very clear, we say it every day. Asher bachar banu mikol amim v'natan lanu etorato. So the Jewish people come before the Torah. And Hashem gave the Torah to the Jewish people because this is a lifestyle that will enable you to be yourself as a part of the greater self in the unique way that you're connected to the greater self. And there may be other paths for other people. We don't go around telling people to embrace Judaism that aren't Jews, right? And we it's not like we don't believe that people can't be enlightened. Okay, but there's something special about the Jewish people as a collective entity, because we are meant to be a vehicle and we are meant to be an inspiration to everybody else's self-awareness. But essentially, the story of life is self-realization, actualization, awareness. It's about living a life that truthfully expresses who you are. It's self-expression. And that's when we feel really happy, when we're able to really express ourselves, our true selves. That's what Torah claims to be. I personally experienced that in my life when I began my journey back to Judaism. I've shared this with you before. I never felt so myself until I actually started living a Torah life and celebrating Shabbat and putting on tefillin. I felt myself. Now, you might say, well, I don't feel that way. Okay, that's a discussion that we have to have. But I want you to know that that's the goal. Okay? So let's go on. I mean, there's more to the goal than that, but let's go on. So now, number 8. Umakom mishkan neshama badam hu b'moach shebarosho. Where is the soul? It's in your head. But you experience that. Close your eyes and you experience you in your head. That's soul, right? The sense of self. There's a sense of self in thy head. Right? Now we're just going to fast forward, you can read the rest of that. I mean, he starts talking about how that self then extends into your heart and into the rest of your, but you might say the control panel is, you know, your sense of self is in your head. Ki nishmato, go to the next bold. Chelek eloka shebimocho, molida lo ruach dat v'yirat Hashem, ad shemishabed kol evirav lo yitbarach. V'nase merkava lo yitbarach. So what happens? You, in the head, right, are a divine part, aspect of God, right? And then from there, you submit all your limbs to God, all right? And you become Merkava. You become a vessel. And that is, and I've talked a little bit about that, that's ecstasy. My best moments as a speaker is when David Aaron isn't speaking. When I can get David Aaron out of the way and I just become an instrument. And we've talked about that, where musicians have described where they feel possessed by a greater force. Or I shared with you this writer from Hollywood who told me that every time he writes a script, he prays, please God, use me. And he said, honestly, I didn't write any of these scripts. I sit in front of my keyboard and I am dumbfounded. I don't know what to do. And then I put my finger and then the next finger, and literally I feel a spirit fill my being and direct me. Right? I've experienced that many times in my life. And the more you're aware of this possibility, the more it's no longer just a possibility. And you begin, and I might have shared with you, Nietzsche, who was famous for saying God is dead, he's not as famous for saying that unless you experience an infinite whole working through you, your life has no meaning. What's he talking about? Who's this infinite whole? He just said God is dead. You see, he believed that God is dead because he thought God is some guy in the sky who's got a big ego problem and is just you know, hungry for praise and hungry for power. So that God is dead, and we would agree. But then he said there's an infinite whole that works through us. Who's that infinite? What's he talking about? But when you experience this greater whole working through you, wow, there's a power there. That's Hashem. That's what it's called, a merchava. All the patriarchs and the matriarchs are described as a vehicle for Hashem, right? A vehicle for Hashem. And what happens is you literally become a channel for Hashem's wisdom, for Hashem's kindness. Because all the powers within you are not from you. And the more you know that all the powers within you are not from you, the more power to you. Because you just open up that channel and just it just flows. You get clarity. You get guidance. When I speak, I often hear a voice telling me what to say. All right? And if I don't listen to that voice, everything goes off. And you just start tapping into a connection, a deep connection, which a power, which is much greater than yourself. And that's what we mean when we say Hashem, that you can connect to that connection. Yes?
Have you heard of flow theory?
Yes.
Is it flow theory? Do you want to explain flow theory?
You can explain flow theory.
I don't know.
Just
that
flow.
Much about
just
it.
Flow with it. Right.
I don't know that much about it, but basically it's like the experience, like, I don't know, I experience it like when I'm playing tennis, like basically your mind is somewhere else, like, yeah, like, and then at the end of the point, you're like, whoa, I just like did that without realizing that I did that.
Right. So that is a spark of a God connection where you experience a self much greater than the conscious self that you are functioning at, which is working through you. And the question is, how do you actively plug into that level of inspiration? That's what enthusiasm means. You know what enthusiasm means? Thus is God. Enthused means filled with God. That's what enthusiasm literally means, to be enthused. And the same thing with inspiration. Spirit is inputted into you. And therefore, when they asked Bob Dylan, how do you write music? And he said, I don't know, I just put my pen on the page and know it's going to be okay. You know, they asked, there's a famous director, producer by the name of Bergman, and they say, how do you direct films? He said, I don't know, I let films direct me. I let the characters tell me what to write, what to do. There is a very profound experience where when you open up that channel and you say, you know what? There's a self much greater than little me, right? And I'm in service, and I want to be in service of that great self. I want to be in service of God. And so Hashem, use me, because there's nothing greater than feeling useful. That's what we all want to do, is we want to feel useful. And so how can I serve to bring godly goodness into the world, wisdom into the world, kindness into the world? And the more that's on your mind, the more you expand your mind, right? And the more you find this incredible direction that just guides you. And you become more guided in your connection to Hashem. And Hashem speaks to you, right? Through you. In your heart. But when you hear the voice of love or the voice of peace or the voice of, that's what we call the voice of God, right? So you're about to do something and there's a little voice that's saying, no, don't do that. That's just such a betrayal of your potential and what you could bring into the world. That's a little bit of a Kaddish Baruch Hu speaking to you. Yeah.
If you only experience that type of like flow, that type of connection, doing certain things, would you say that that can be like a sign of a point of direction to what you might want to be doing?
If you don't feel that?
I mean, if you only feel that certain experience, doing a few certain things, would those few
Okay, that's, again, I don't want to go there right now because it's a little dangerous what you're saying, because actually it almost says if it feels good, then do it. If it flows, that's a sign that it's right. No, the Yetzer Hara is actually very good also at creating a counterfeit flow, so that's also something you got to be careful of. As well as, and we haven't talked about it yet, because what are we doing here? Okay, what's, now we're establishing, okay, I'm a ray of God. What's a ray of God like me doing in a place like this? You know, we haven't talked about that. Why would God put a ray of himself, right? Again, I'm not him, but I'm a ray of him, so to speak. What am I doing here? We haven't touched that at all yet, okay? And that'll then help us decide, so how do we know that we're doing what we're supposed to be doing? But we haven't even talked about what we're supposed to be doing in general. And then we can talk about what we're supposed to be doing in specific and how we could know that. But right now, we're talking about what does it mean to connect to Hashem? And the answer is, you don't have to connect to Hashem. Why? Because you already are connected to Hashem. It's like telling a ray of sun, you are connected to the sun. You don't have to do anything to connect the sun. The problem is you forgot that you connected the sun. You're acting in a way that betrays yourself as a ray of the sun. Okay? And that's what Torah is about. Torah is to help you be true to yourself, right? As a facet of Hashem, the one self. Yeah.
Just a similar question. Like, let's say, for example, like I love to write and I get like lost in my writing, like what you said. Does it mean that I should pursue something in that? And B, or
you just asked
like,
the same question. That's what you just asked.
Oh, I thought you meant like.
No. There's no. I can't.
What if like somebody's like a bad writer, but like they're like, oh, I get lost in it, but like they're just not good. Like,
well, what? It's not about whether you're good. It's whether you're bringing good. That's the question, right? Are you bringing goodness? Are your writings good? Meaning good for the world. You know, there are people that are getting incredible inspirational ideas. They don't know where they came from, but they're incredibly destructive ideas. And because it was something that was a flow, that's a sure sign it was a good thing to be doing. No, but we haven't figured out in general what are we supposed to be doing. Where right now, I want you to understand, emuna means, right, to faithfully portray your true self. Emunah is a profound self-awareness and expression of yourself as part of a greater self. Right? And we're all looking for connecting to that greater self. Right? As I shared with you, when I was going to rock concerts, my favorite moment was when everybody would hold that match. I shared that with you already, didn't I?
I don't think so.
No. Okay. All right. Well, so when I was an alto rocker, you know, when I was in, I went to a lot of rock concerts. I was in a rock band. And my favorite moment at the concert was when thousands of people would hold a match. Today, people hold their cell phones. This is reform rock and roll, okay? The orthodox rock and roll was everyone would hold a match. And I remember the first time I saw this. It was like thousands of people in the stadium in Toronto. And suddenly I looked around and everybody was holding a match. And I didn't have a match. And I said, excuse me. I felt like such an idiot. I don't have a match. And finally I got a match, and there I was standing. And I was so happy. I have a match. And then I saw it coming closer to my fingers, and I realized they all had lighters, and I had a match. Okay. But what was so powerful about that? I don't know. It was just amazing. It was this incredible experience. It was just this incredible experience that I'm part of this greater light. I'm part of this greater fire. It was a ritual. And that's what rituals are. They are acting out something you sense inside yourself. And that was what the music was about. What we love about these concerts is we're rocking together and it turns into an ocean. And we're just one self, right? And there isn't the band and there isn't, we're just all one. And it's the search for God. But what would happen in this incredible moment of communal consciousness, the sense of one self, is when the concert was over, people would step on each other and, hey, guys, hey, we're all one, where are we? And they all left. It was over in 2 hours. But then I remember in my first Shabbaton, I was invited to a Shabbaton through NCSY, and they did this candle lighting thing, and there were about 300 of us teenagers, And we're all standing in front of these candles, dancing and singing and lighting these candles. And I'm thinking to myself, I've never done this before, and yet this is really familiar. I feel like I've done this before, but I've never done this before. And I realized it was the rock concerts. And I realized I was looking for Shabbos at a Black Sabbath concert. You know? But that's what I was looking for. As I was looking for Shabbos, I was looking for God. I didn't know I was looking for God. Right? And most people say they don't believe in God. They are profoundly looking for God. They don't understand. They think that looking for God means looking for an infinite being that's somewhere in heaven. Well, if you are, I guarantee you, you will never find him. But if you're looking for God within you and within everybody else, and you're looking for the one self that unites us all, when we sing together and we dance together, and we pray together and we learn together, and suddenly there's a greater whole that's more than the sum of the parts. In fact, the sum of the parts are really emerging out of that whole. The whole is not the sum of the parts. The parts are born out of the whole. And there was, is, and always will be the whole self. Hashem always was, is, and will. So that was a ritual. And that's what rituals are. What's rich about rituals is that they enable you to tap into, right, that unconscious knowing of Hashem Echad. God is one. And I am one with him. And I am one with you through him. And that's what a Torah life is. That's what it means to be Eretz Yisrael. That's what it means to celebrate Yom HaTzmaut, Pesach, whatever it is. We're remembering that we're all one. And isn't that what everybody wants? It's called love. That's what we all want. We want to feel connected. And that's what mitzvahs are. 613 connectors. But we're really already connected, but the mitzvahs help you become consciously connected. But translating mitzvah into commandment just destroys the meaning of a mitzvah. Because in the deepest sense, a mitzvah is a connection. It's a way of eliciting from the unconscious an awareness of the connection. All right? So he says that really that's what it's about. It's all about becoming a merchava, becoming a vehicle, becoming an instrument for Hashem. And it's amazing. It's amazing. Again, I don't remember what I shared, but I spoke to this guy who used to play with like the Beatles and the Rolling Stones. I mean, did I tell you the story?
Probably.
Okay. I asked him, why is there so much drugs and alcohol in the world of music? Is it becoming a little more familiar, this story? Yeah. Okay. So essentially the point is that these musicians, their highest point when it's not them. Their highest point is when they're in a state of total surrender and what we would call in the Hasidut Bitul Yesh, and they're just in service of the source of music. And yet what happens is everybody wants their autograph and they become what we call thick as a brick. And your ego just kicks in and you start to want to take ownership and say, these are my powers, these are my strength, this is my music. It's all about me, and you just collapse into the me. When before you were in this state of self, rooted in the great self, Hashem. And now it all collapses into this little puny ego. And that's when we start to suffer, because we're so in our ego. Okay? So the goal of being a merchava. But look at what he says in the next paragraph. Aval kishechas v'shalom adam pogem at atzmo. God forbid if a person damages his deeds, and you go against what you as soul are advising the rest of your body to do. What happens is you create this screen, this separation between the soul and the brain. And then the soul can't extend into the heart. Shagam shemevin mitbonem begdulat Hashem, v'yodei shetovu aitzel asod resono, mikom akom nefesh behemiot shabo tavod libo govrim ve'ein libo brushoto, balev choshev betavot chomriot, ve'ein yuchol lidabek b'Hashem u'mafsik chevel hamshecha. And here's the verse. And this is an important verse. Look at Yeshayahu. Ki'im avnotechem hayu mavdilim beinechem lebein elokechem. It is your sins. It is your ungodly behavior that is separating you from God. And that's what a sin does. A sin is an act which is creating this separation in consciousness between you and Hashem, and that's the source of all your pain. That's all the problems. And that's the pasuk. It's your sins that are separating you from me. If it wouldn't be your sins, then you would never feel disconnected from me. Right? But because you're behaving in a way as if you are disconnected to me, then you're reinforcing the disconnection, and it's incredibly painful. Because in the deepest depths, you are connected, but in your mind, you're not. And the conflict between what is and what you think is creating all this suffering. Okay? Let's hear some more questions on that. Yeah.
I guess this is a little bit theoretical, but is there something like wrong with that? Like you said, to talk about like drugs, like that, like that, experiencing that high. Like, let's say there was no like.
Depends who you buy it from. If you buy from the yeshiva, there's nothing wrong. It's tax deductible. Okay, it's tax deductible, no problem. Now, there's something very wrong with drugs. I tell you why. Because you're trying to achieve a state of consciousness that you didn't work for, and you don't deserve, and so you're trying to get to this top of the Empire State Building by thinking you're Superman and flying to the top and not taking the elevator inside or the stairs. So what you're basically doing is you're burning your brain because you are trying to achieve a consciousness that you are not ready for. And you will live with this instability because you'll have a taste of something amazing that you are not ready for and don't know how to get there naturally. So then you do more drugs and more drugs and more drugs. Okay? Okay, one more thing, and then we're going to end. Look at number 11. This is Rav Tzadok, the Lublin Rebbe. Latid levo atidim, tzadikim shikru b'shmo shel Kadosh Baruch Hu. In the future, this is a Gemara. It's not Kabbalah, Hasidus. It's a Gemara. In the future, the tzadikim, which is you and me when we get to the future, will be called by the name of God. B'shem avaya mamish, by the name yud kei vav kei, literally. Because it will be clear in the future that all your powers are not yours, they're His, and therefore there's nothing but God. My fingers don't have a different name. My fingers are David. My toes are David. Right? And so too, as we become more self-aware, aware of ourselves as part of the great Tzav HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then the tzaddikim who have this level of consciousness, they'll be called God. But not that they'll think they're God. Right? But it's so clear that there's nothing but God and we're all a part of Him that there'll just be one name. Okay? And that's where we're going to. But as I started this whole thing, this all sounds very selfish, doesn't it? And you know what? It is. But it's not a bad selfishness. It's a holy selfishness. Right? No one's asking you to give up yourself. They're asking you to put your ego in place and use it as a vehicle to find yourself within a greater self. And then you find not only yourself, but everybody else. You find yourself outside of yourself. And then you find your real self. Okay? And so, yeah, in the future, the Gemara says that the tzaddikim, which is you and I by the time we get there, right, they'll be referred to as God. Because it'll be so clear that they don't have an independent existence. They don't exist apart from Hashem. They exist apart of Hashem. And that becomes Gan Eden. Olam Haba, when we say Olam Haba, what is Olam Haba? Olam Haba is a realization of Ein Od Milvado. And it's not just a pasuk that you read. You literally experience Ein Od Milvado. There's nothing but a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And I'm not Him, and you're not Him, but there's really nothing but Him. Because we're all connected, and we're all part. There's one ocean, many waves, but the waves are not independent of the ocean. They're all part of the ocean. And there's still just the ocean with many waves. Any questions on what we just shared? Okay. So if you want to hold on to this source sheet, you're welcome to do that. If you want to give it back, you're welcome to do that. Next week we're going to do a whole new thing. I mean, we're developing, we're building on this. Tomorrow is a fast.